I come by the messages that I preach by different methods. Sometimes the entire Sunday school series Brother Jeb is doing came about because questions were asked here at the church. And as a pastor, my job is to bring you to maturity, to edify the believers. And in doing that, part of that's answering your questions. There are other ways that I find things too, and this one is an example of where I became struck with a certain phrase, decided to check it out. One of the joys that I have in my own personal Bible study is to take the phrase, and with my computer helps, I can trace that either by the Hebrew word, by the Greek word, or by the English words, all through the Bible. And that gives me the time to analyze what I find. So I was looking at this expansive term, the uttermost parts of the earth. And I found that there was an interesting concept here. And 4 points make themselves rather plain to us by studying this thing. But we'll begin with Psalm 2, verse 8. Here it says, God the Father speaking to God the Son, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The uttermost parts of the earth. You think about it, uttermost parts of the earth. It's pretty colorful. You know, in this day and age, is there anything that's utterly remote? But that would be pretty much for us the place hardest to get to, you know, where the transportation would be least easy. In other times, it meant the place that was furthest away from where you were. At whatever it means to the very ends of the earth, to be as far away from where you are, as home sweet home as it's possible to get. And here we find, it occurs no less than 30 times in the Old Testament, 5 times in the New, and it's usually translated the ends of the earth. But looking at this concept, very comprehensive phrase, we find that there are 4 main concepts involved in the usage of it. And they all have to do with Jesus Christ. The first deals with the promised kingdom of Jesus. And we recognize that in the beginning, God put man in charge. He said, you will have dominion. That's the word for ruling over this earth. But his kingship was ruined by sin. God wants to rule through man on earth. And when Adam and Eve sinned, then that messed things up. But God's will is going to be fulfilled, and Jesus Christ will be returning to this earth, will be conquering, and will be ruling. Notice with me then the promised kingdom of Jesus. Going back to our text, but looking at verse 7, I will declare the decree, or for a decree, the Lord, or Jehovah, has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Here is the promise of God the Father to the Son, part of the entire deal of him becoming a human to accomplish the legality of the new covenant, that being the man who conquers, the man who does the will of God, he becomes the king of it all. So it appears often, this promise in the Old Testament. Let me give you 3 of these. Psalm 22, 27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Set as the Christ rule set at Jerusalem in the coming 1,000-year kingdom of God, things will change. Things will be very different. The curse will be lifted enough that the animals don't fight and eat each other anymore. Evil, slimy things, not slimy, but evil things like the snakes. We all have a little bit of an aversion to that, I think, most of us. And the little boy will come running in and say, "Mommy, Mommy, look what I found." And you'll have a snake, poisonous snake. And Mommy will say, "Isn't that nice? Now treat him gently, you know. He's not going to hurt you." And that's the way life will be. Sin will still be here. It'll be in the hearts of men, but Satan and the demons will be tucked away into the abyss, to the pit, to be released later. But the point of being an outside tempter will be removed from them during this time. It'll be a wonderful time. The desert will bloom. It will places that man has ruined, God will revive. Being the source of life, he will set it up. So literally, from one point to the utter end of the earth, the entire world will be under the dominion of King Jesus. Psalm 72:8, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, from the river unto the ends of the earth." And Micah 5:4, "And he shall stand and feed," or rule, "in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." So we have this wonderful, expansive promise of things to come, that one day it will not be as it is now. In the book of the Revelation, we read of the great red dragon. It has seven heads. Well, this is Satan ruling seven Gentile world dominant kingdoms and subjugating Israel in the midst of it. The first head of the seven was Babylon. The last head will be Antichrist himself during the tribulation period. But Jesus coming back will actually do physical battle, conquering, taking the Antichrist, the beast, and his false prophet, taking them alive, but destroying them nonetheless, for he cast them directly into the lake of fire. They're the first ones to go into the lake of fire. No one is in the lake of fire now, as far as we can tell. There's a temporary place of torment called Hades, and that is where people are being sent. Hades will be emptied at the great white throne judgment. They will be resurrected to a body that will last forever. And so in spirit and body, they will be condemned before the throne of Christ at the great white throne judgment and sent there to the lake of fire, from which there is no exit. And when it speaks of that happening at the end of the millennium, it says that the beast and the false prophet have already been there for 1,000 years in the smoke of their torment. So we find that his kingdom will be universal. At the end of the 1,000 years and after the great white throne judgment, death itself will have been eliminated, because death only comes because of sin. Sin will have been dealt with completely, and so sin is ended. Death is ended. Even death shall die, as the scripture says. And with that, all the enemies of God are overcome. Death is one of the signs of the enemies of God. And he's the giver of life. So then Jesus Christ turns to his great Father and says, "I have accomplished all my goal." I imagine kneeling before him, handing him the scepter. He turns over the rule. So after 1,000 years of reign, he gives it up. Says, I want you to be all in all. And so the millennial kingdom merges with the universal kingdom. And God the Father, God the triune God, is in charge of all. So the promised kingdom of Jesus, what a glorious, glorious picture, what a glorious promise. No longer dominated by Satan and Satan's minions, but rather by Christ and God himself. The second part of the story, told by the phrase uttermost parts or ends of the earth, is that the earth is Christ's by right of creation. He will take it to himself, but it was his by right. The divine Son, whose future dominion will extend to the uttermost parts of the earth, is also the creator of everything. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? And who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name? Interesting phrases. If thou canst tell. And so the wise man here says, if you want to understand what's really going on, understand who made all of the elements to be able to control the wind and the waves. Means you can hold the wind in your fist, gather the entire oceans in your garment, and in fact have established all the ends of the earth. And we know his name. We call him God the Father, Jehovah God, and we know his Son, Jesus Christ, the one who was the actual executor of the creation itself. So the earth is his by right of creation. It's a thing he made. And it's been hijacked, taken a detour because of sin, Satan in control of the things of earth, so that at the time of Jesus and the temptation by Satan, Satan could say, I'll give them to you to rule because it's mine to give. That will end when Christ conquers that seventh head of the great beast, the Antichrist himself. We come to the third of the four, and that is recognition. This phrase led me to realize that the earth is his to judge. Here is one of the early themes of preaching in the early church. The Apostle Paul, taking the message of God all around, recognized that there were two messages that he was to give to, two warnings, I should say, that he was to give to the unsaved. One is, there's only one God, and he has said, sin is wrong. The second is, and he will be a judge of you because of that. We find that he who both created and will ultimately rule all the ends of the earth will also be the judge. 1 Samuel 2:10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed, and literally the Messiah. So here, God, basically the triune God, is in charge. Christ is to say that he's the one who will actually be the judge. In John 5:22, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus Christ himself said that. And then Paul, preaching at Athens, says in Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. We understand that the judgment is God's judgment, but the appointed judge is Jesus Christ, whereof he hath given assurance, and the King James margin here says, or offered faith unto all men. He has offered faith, and they have denied it, so they stand in judgment, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The resurrection from the dead is the great testament that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. That there really is a God. and he has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is the testimony that this raised human being, Jesus Christ, is going to be the judge of all human beings, even to the ends of the earth. Well, let me close then with the fourth point. The uttermost parts of the earth took me four places. And the fourth place was sort of a rainbow over this whole story, coming to judgment, death, and destruction. There's a rainbow over it because the earth is his by desire. I remember growing up and having this sort of a sense that God hated sinners. You get too bad and he's just going to take you out. And finally it dawned on me that God doesn't hate sinners. He sent his son to die for the sinners. He's not trying to kill sinners. He's trying to save them. So once in a while, things get so bad, they threaten his own. He has to take them out, like a doctor, for the sake of life, has to cut a piece of cancer out of your body. But his desire is for the entire earth. Notice this, he has provided salvation for men. This in four parts, he fulfilled the Father's new covenant, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. And all things are of God. There's the uttermost parts of the earth. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, or by explanation here, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's the new covenant. This is the work that was done before God created man. The legality was set in place before God actually committed to the creation of man. Knowing as he did that there was no way to create man with free will so that he could love God, choose to love God. There was no way to do that where man wouldn't sin. So he had to make arrangements for him to be saved, and he did that before he actually created man. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's the seeming contradiction in the passage means that here God has already provided the salvation for all, if you will trust Christ. Now it is our job, we who know, to say to the people, be reconciled. You see, the question is, how can I be reconciled? And we say, oh, well, he's taking care of that. He's taking care of the legality of that. He planned it before creation. Then he instituted it when Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the new covenant. So now we get to say, all you need to do is to say yes. Be those who hope in Christ for salvation. So he fulfilled the Father's new covenant, the desire for all of the world. Secondly, he commanded belief for salvation. This is God's command of salvation. This is what he asks of humanity. This is why he created humans to begin with. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. There's a little resistance to finding that we actually extend ourselves to reach those who are not Americans. A little bit of a resistance. Well, are we straying from our purpose? Not according to God. Look unto me and be you saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there's none else. You have no other hope. You can invent a God, but he's not real. John 1:7, the same, speaking of John the Baptist, came for a witness to bear witness of the light. And of course, Jesus was the light. That all men through him might believe. All men, uttermost parts of the earth. That's the burden on our shoulders, to disciple all nations. So he commanded belief for salvation. The third thing we see that the earth is his by desire is that he actively pursued them with witnesses. Acts 1:8, Christ says to the resurrected Christ says to his disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Let me just stop there to say that's the interesting part to me that I hadn't realized about the New Covenant till going through Hebrews. I was wondering from Jeremiah 31 how else could it be that God's law would be written in the heart if it wasn't the work of the internal work of the Holy Spirit. But then Hebrews actually said that that's part of the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit's coming. So what Christ is saying here to them, I have not yet ascended to present the shed blood before God. When I do that, my work of the New Covenant will be completed. The New Covenant will be fulfilled. And as a seal of that, I will send the Holy Spirit. But he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both, this means all at the same time, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Found it interesting that it's singular here, the uttermost part. That means, go to the very last place. Tell them all. So, he commanded his witnesses of the completed work of the new covenant to go to the uttermost part of the earth. And then finally, he authoritatively sent missionaries, not just people witnessing of the facts, but actually trying to bring people to Christ. Paul and Barnabas were sent out from the church at Antioch, there in Syria, and we find Paul and Barnabas preaching at another Antioch in Pisidia in Acts 13:47. And notice what he says. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee, he says, this is what God said to us, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. We recognize then that in this study of the uttermost parts of the earth, what we find is that God intends to give that domination to his son, considering the heroic work that he's already accomplished and the heroic work he's going to be doing. He deserves to rule and to reign. But that it's only fair because the earth is his by right of creation to the uttermost parts of the earth. The earth will be his to judge for sin, and he has actively done what he can because the earth is his by desire. He's calling you to come. What excuse do you give to God, who made you to come to himself, and says, if you don't, then you are establishing yourself contrary to my very nature, and I will have to turn you away? We cannot exist in the same place. We are light and darkness. You will stand before Jesus Christ, either as a Christian at the judgment seat of Christ, already saved, and their rewards will be given, or at the great white throne judgment. You will be called up, resurrected, as it were, from the pit of Hades to stand judgment. The great book of life will be opened, that place that had your name in it when you were conceived to life. But it's been blotted out because you died rejecting life, rejecting God. Search is made, and the announcement from the angels, whoever is reading it, says, his name has not been found. The question is, what have you done with Jesus Christ? The one who made you, the one who will rule, the one who will judge, the one who's desired to have you as his own. You and to the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we take a passage of Scripture, a phrase, trace it through the Scripture, and we find the plan of salvation. We recognize that the ending is already known to you, now revealed to us. The Christians end up being the beneficiary of the great work of Christ, and he gets to rule and to reign. I ask, Father, that you might help us to see that challenging that power, challenging that authority, is perhaps one of the most foolish things we could do. What arrogance, what ignorance, to stand against the power, the all-powerful God. We ask that you might help us to learn what it is now to bow in reverence and submission and acceptance and to say, yes, I am a sinner. I recognize it in myself. I need Jesus Christ and the work that he did for me. He died in my place. I would like for him to take that penalty from me. I would like for his death to count for mine. And then I can be with you forever. With heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps that's your prayer. You would like to know for sure today that you are saved. You would like to say, I want to stand with Jesus Christ on that day when he sits upon the throne to rule and reign for 1,000 years. I want to be with him. Pray for me. Yes, amen. Father, turn our hearts to thee. Help us to see that there is no place on this earth we can go that will escape your attention. We may go to the uttermost part of the earth. There you will rule, you created, you will judge, and you have desired it. We pray thy blessing upon us then in Jesus' name. Amen.